Hello. There we go. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Like Amy said, my name is Nick. And it's funny, I've had this on my calendar since April, like, or something. So it feels pretty crazy that we're already here. I was looking forward to it. But thank you so much for having me. I love moms. They're the best group of people. I'm excited to speak to adults. I usually speak to high schoolers, but adults I think are more fun, and moms are the best group of them all. Moms get stuff done. Like, you guys are, like, if I need something, like, moms are like, all right, tell me what you need and I will do it, and I will blow your expectations out of the water. So moms are great, and you're awesome. So during this talk, you obviously see my topic on the schedule, but I want to preface my talk by saying I know nothing about parenting, absolutely nothing. Like, I'm like, the kind of season I'm in right now is like diving into parenting books and like birth books, like, and just like every day I'm learning something new. Like, a couple weeks ago I learned what a placenta was. Like, that's kind of where I'm at. So I have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about when it comes to parenting. But what I do want to say is I know a lot about teenagers. I've worked 7 years and I've discipled hundreds and hundreds of teenagers. So I always like to say when I'm talking to adults, like, you're the expert on your student. You're the expert on how to parent your student. You know them better than anyone else there is to know. I feel like I, at this point, could say that I'm an expert on students. So let's partner together. So I'm gonna use my experience and what I know to be true about the teenagers that I've come in contact with, and you know your students. So kind of filter what you think would work best. But I kind of just wanna right off the bat tell you, I love my job. I love working with students, as crazy as they are. They definitely keep me young for sure, but also remind me that I'm super old, in my late 20s, so which is really great. But I love my job. I love working with students. So when I'm talking to you guys, just know that I love your students. I love your kids, wherever they're at in their season of life. So I come at this with a lot of love, a lot of care. So I'm really, really thankful for the opportunity to speak to you today. But show of hands, I know this is like kind of the next step after mops and mom's next sort of thing. So how many of you like have elementary age kids? Anybody in the room? Okay. And you can keep your hand raised for every age group, but how many of you, your kids are in junior high? Okay. And then high school? Few? Okay. So a good mix. Yeah. So you're kind of all across the board. What I really wanted to talk about today, and as you see on your schedule, is I want to talk about having hard conversations with your kids. Because the reality is they're on the horizon, especially for you high school parents. You're like, oh, been there, like, that's fun. And your junior high parents, you're getting ready, or maybe you're beginning that process of like, okay, I can't really filter all the information that my kid is intaking, so we have to navigate these hard conversations. And I prepared this talk on how to have hard conversations with your high schooler. And even like, since I prepared this talk, I feel like it's even getting started younger and younger and younger. So like, it's really having hard conversations with your junior higher or high schooler. Because the reality is there are very real and really hard conversations that are on the horizon for all of you. So the best thing that you can do is to be prepared in how to navigate those conversations. Because the reality is your kid is gonna come to you telling you that they're being pressured to drink with their friends. They're gonna come to you, or what's gonna happen when you discover that your kid is watching and engaging with pornography? What about your kid and their boyfriend or girlfriend, you find out are being physical with each other? What if they share that they're attracted to the same gender, or that they might identify as a gender outside of what they were born with or born in? And what happens if you find out that they're harming themselves, or they feel depressed or anxious? Your students are going to have these conversations somewhere, and my hope and my desire is that they choose you to go to, and that you feel really prepared to have these conversations. So too often, like way too often, I hear parents wanting to shelter their kids for way too long, and they don't want to navigate having these conversations. Even just last year, I talked with a parent of a junior girl, and she was floored with me that the topic of sexuality came up. And it wasn't even like in our curriculum or anything for life groups, but she asked the question about sexuality, and this mom was floored that conversation is coming up in church. And I'm like, I don't know, I there's a differencing of opinion, you know, there, because your kid is having this conversation somewhere. And so my heart and my desire is that, you know, number one, they're having it in a controlled environment, but also that they're having that conversation with you. Because your daughter, and she was a junior in high school at this point too, so I'm like, your daughter is having this conversation and she should be having this conversation with you. So are you ready? Or are you, and you know, the heart is there too. She, you know, she wants to protect her kid and she wants to, you know, filter the information that she's intaking for as long as she can. And I'm like, I affirmed her heart and I affirmed, you know, her love for her daughter. But the reality is that she's having this conversation and your kids are having these conversations. So my heart and desire is that they choose you to go to. And if they aren't talking to you, they're talking about it with their friends. So who would you want to be the person that's speaking into their life, their friends or you? So my heart is that they come to you and that you're ready and expectant. So today, what I kind of want to do is I'm not going to tell you, hey, how to talk to your kid about, you know, gender or sexuality. I'm not going to talk to you about that. But what I want to talk to you about is how to navigate these conversations, kind of like principles that you can use to navigate these conversations in a healthy way. And all this comes from my experience working with high schoolers and junior hires. It's not like based in psychology or anything like that. So everything with a grain of salt, everything just kind of come from my own personal experience. So it'll kind of just be like boom, 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 boom. Like here's a bunch of different practices and how to navigate these hard conversations. So I'm really stoked about this. I'm really excited. So the first one in how to navigate these hard conversations is remind them that you love them. Remind them that you love them. And this might seem so obvious. Like, of course my kid knows that I love them. Like, of course that they know that I love them, that no matter what, they know that. Tell them anyway. Tell them anyway, because what I hear so often is the number one fear that a student has, like before they have a hard conversation with their parents, is I don't know what my parent is gonna think of me in response to me telling them this, or in response to them finding out that I'm struggling with this, I don't know what they're gonna think about me. Which seems so absurd because you're their mom. You're like, I love you so much, I will do anything for you. Tell them. Tell them anyway. Leave no doubt in their mind that whatever it is that they come to you, that you're gonna love them the same. So practically what that looks like, you know, they come to you and, you know, they share something hard, or maybe you discover something hard and you have to engage with them. The first thing, the absolute first thing you do, remind them that you love them. Hey, before we get into this conversation, I'm excited. Thank you for coming to me. I just wanna let you know that there's nothing that you could ever do that will ever make me love you any less, okay? So just, like, hold on to that. I love you. There's nothing that you could do that could ever make me love you any less. And then what happens is, all of a sudden, the guard comes down a little bit. And then everything else, like, the whole remainder of that conversation is filtered through that lens. I know my mom loves me, so everything that she says to me, like, how she reacts in this situation, comes out of that. I know my mom loves me, and I know that there's nothing that I could do to ever make her love me any less. So the first thing is remind them that you love them. Second is listen to understand. Listen to understand. And I know this one might seem really obvious too, but one of the biggest things that I hear students say out of response to conversations that they have with their parents that might not have gone the way that they thought or they expected is that high school students share that their parents in that conversation, they say that they don't feel heard, or especially when hard conversations come, they don't feel like their mom really heard them, or they don't feel like they really like valued understand where they're coming from. So what they really want above everything is for you to listen to them and to understand where they're coming from. And body language is huge with this. I always, when I was trained like as a youth pastor, one of my first youth pastor jobs when I was right out of college, my boss pretty much told me to control my shock and awe face. He's like, when students come to you, and I'm kind of expressive with my face too, so I'm like, tell me more, like what? They're like, control your shock and awe face. So what that means is anything that a student came to me with, it was, you murdered someone, tell me more. Yes. Just control it, because what they don't want to see is, what? You killed someone? And they're like, oh, never mind, I don't want to come to you anymore. So control that shock and awe face. It really lets their guard down. It helps them like know that you're not judging them in that moment, that you're really trying to understand. James 1:19 says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And I feel like as parents, we should model this for our students, that we could be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. So for the second one, it's listen to understand. Listen to understand. And the next one is, ask them what they need from you in that moment. Now, I want to preface this because sometimes your parenting hat needs to come on and you need to intervene. You know, sometimes a situation, you have to intervene as a parent to protect your kid. So for all the other times, sometimes your student will walk away unsatisfied because they had an expectation of how the situation would go, and then we bring our own expectations into the conversation. So they feel like their expectations weren't met, and then we brought our own expectations. So what I mean by that is when your student comes to you with something hard, and you follow this advice, you're asking them, what do you need from me in this moment? What do you need me to do in response to this hard conversation? And maybe it's advice. And a lot of times it's not. You know, our students just like, they just want to like process or something. If you ask them what their expectations are or what you need from me in this moment and they tell you, you know, maybe it's advice, then your advice is more welcomed in that moment. They're more likely to receive the advice because that's what they want from you. And sometimes maybe it's just a hug. Maybe they just need to feel loved in that moment. Maybe they want to take their minds off of it. What is it that they need in that moment? Resist the urge to bring your own agenda into the conversation. Again, I say this with a huge, huge asterisk that sometimes the situation, it needs you to intervene. And so totally disregard everything in that case. But for all the other conversations and all the other things, what we think students need is oftentimes different from what they actually want. When I was in seventh grade, I lost my older brother in a tragedy. And I got invited to come. So my wife, my then best friend, invited me to come to church. And now we're married, which is a really cool story. But she invited me to come to church, and my youth pastor knew me by name. She's been praying for me and everything, and then she asked me, like, hey, do you mind if I just take you out one day? Just, like, you know, just to get to know you and everything. And I'll never forget, like, I was obviously going through a really, really hard time. She showed up at my house, and she's like, okay, Nick, I have 2 days planned. One day involves, like, you know, we're going to take our mind off of it. We're going to have fun. We're going to do all these things. Like, you don't have to talk about your brother at all. Like, it's just a day where you can laugh and have fun. And then I have another day planned where, like, you know, we can go sit, we can go to the beach, we could talk about it. What do you want to do? And I'll never forget, it totally shifted even how I have hard conversations with students. I'm like, she could have so easily said, you know, what he actually needs is to talk about it. But what I actually wanted was to take my mind off of it. I didn't want to talk about it in that time. So it really gave me the power. And then the day was awesome. And then, you know, I did the more fun day, but I was more likely to talk about it because I felt like she didn't bring her own expectations and her own agenda into this conversation. So this totally shifted everything from me. She asked me, what could I do for you in this moment? And it changed everything. So ask what they need from you in that moment. And the next one is resist comparing your experiences to theirs. Resist comparing your own experiences to theirs. Again, something I hear very often is students are upset because their parents, they feel like their parents don't understand, or they try to compare what life is like now to what life was like then. And what it does is it totally discredits what they're going through and what they're struggling with now, or they feel like it discredits what they're going through and struggling with. And I definitely don't want to discredit what all of you have gone through, what I've gone through. There's definitely a time where you can say, hey, like, I went through something similar, but kind of telling them that, I went through something similar that might, you know, life looks a lot different now, but like I think I can relate to some capacity, but resist the urge to directly compare because life is so, so different now. I love doing like generational studies, and if you've ever like, I kind of geek out on them, but Gen Z and Gen Alpha is super interesting. They're unlike any generation that we've ever, you know, ever encountered. But here's some of the statistics about Gen Z and Gen Alpha, which will just kind of prove that they're so different. They're so different from us. Gen Z and Gen Alpha is the most diverse generation in human history. They're the most educated in all of history. More likely than ever, they're gonna go on to get their master's degree. They're the most stressed generation in history. 47% would say that they are content with their life compared to 65% of millennials. They're known as the age of anxiety. High school students today, this statistic is heartbreaking. High school students today carry the same weight of anxiety as a psychiatric patient in the 1950s. They grew up with technology at their fingertips, which we all know, and they're experiencing all the effects of social media. And they're using it differently than millennials. They believe social media is too public, and they fear that their private lives are gonna be exposed through social media. So they stick to platforms like Snapchat, it goes away at an instant, or the vanishing mode in Instagram, it goes away. They want things to disappear because they don't wanna be exposed. And they want to converse with the select few over having, you know, as many followers as they can. It's totally shifted now. And then some of the more heartbreaking, they have the highest rates of suicide, depression, and other mental health issues than any other generation. And 75%, and this is from 2019, so I'm sure this is increased, 75% of them go to school every single day and have some worry of a mass shooting occurring in their classroom. Which is heartbreaking, man. I don't want to discredit what we have all gone through. I really don't, and your experiences, but times are so different. Times are very different, and we have to understand that our students are up against battles that we didn't have to face or that we faced much later. They're experiencing all this way earlier and way differently. And sometimes, even though our heart is so absolutely in the right place, our experiences just don't compare. And telling them like, hey, I went through something exactly like this, and for in their head, they're like, I just don't get it. It doesn't compare. It discredits what they go through. And students sense that. So we resist the urge to directly compare our experiences to theirs. What we can do is ask, after asking our kids what they need from us, and maybe it's advice, or maybe it's to share our experiences, share it with a grain of salt, saying, you know, like, hey, I don't know if this is directly compares to yours, but I went through something similar, and here's what I learned from it, but I don't know if it directly compares. You know, even adding that qualifier will let their guards down a little bit, and it'll fight the urge inside them to say, you have no idea what you're talking about. That's not what I'm feeling. So again, we ask permission to share advice or experiences, and then your students are so much more receptive to it when you do. When you ask them what your expectations are, and they tell you like, hey, like, did you ever go through anything similar? They're so much more open to it and receptive to it, and they even welcome it, rather than it's just like an unsolicited advice, unsolicited experience in the moment. So we resist the urge to directly compare. And the next one, I think I have a couple more. Is earn the next conversation. Earn the next conversation. So when you are in a hard conversation with your kid, you should be incredibly excited. You know, out of all the other people in their lives, they chose you to go to, and they feel like you are a safe and trusted person that they can navigate this conversation with. It should be really, really awesome. You should celebrate inside that you are a safe place to process their feelings and their doubts, and not be perfect around. And they know that you love them because you already shared that with them in the beginning of the conversation. But recognize that in that hard conversation, you are also directly earning the next one, or you are impacting how they come at the next conversation. And what I mean by that is how they walk away will directly impact how they walk into the next conversation. Did they walk away feeling judged? Did they walk away with more stress and more things to do and more anxiety? Or did they walk away feeling heard? Did they walk away feeling like my mom is safe? Like I can doubt, I don't have to be perfect. I could say the wrong things. That will directly impact how they walk into the next conversation. They'll bring that into the next conversation. So recognize, like, while we are in a hard conversation, we are directly impacting the next conversation. And we even earn the next conversation with how we interact with our students in the current one. And the last one, and maybe you're sitting here, you're like, dang, I really messed up. Like, I never tell them how much I love them, right? Like, if we're honest with yourselves, you could think back to maybe a few moments where you're like, dang, I really messed up. Maybe you could think back to a conversation where you did not earn the next conversation or you brought your own expectations into it. And to be honest, this topic is it's really personal to me because I can think very clearly to a moment where my dad was no longer a trusted adult for me when I was in high school. I walked away and I felt judged. I felt like he wasn't safe anymore. I felt like he didn't love me in that time. It was really hard. I felt unwanted, unheard, unloved. Like, it was really, really hard for me. But over the past years, after a lot of hard conversations, I'm finally getting to a place where my relationship with that, it feels like it's reconciled. It feels like he is a safe place for me. It feels like he does love me. It feels like he does hear me. Just excited to share that. But my last point for all of you, and it's mainly for those of you who feel like you've messed up, feel like you've kind of dropped the ball maybe one or two times, it's never too late. And I hope that you write that down. It's never too late. Maybe a conversation needs to happen with you and your kid. Maybe an apology needs to happen. Let me tell you something, what I love about this generation, your students will respect you even more for it. If you have a hard conversation with them and you apologize, you own up, they will respect you so much more. It's never too late to apologize in hindsight as well. What I love about this generation is that they value authenticity. It's one of the highest things that they value, especially in adults. They want to see people, especially their parents, they want to see them as imperfect, as failures, and owning up to their failures and learning from it. Have you guys ever seen The Adam Project on Netflix? Anyone? No, it's like with Ryan Reynolds. We should all see it. Yeah. It's a really good movie, but there's a scene in it that's just like, I always, whenever I talk to parents, especially moms, I always refer to this scene. It's in The Adam Project with Ryan Reynolds, and he's like a time traveler. So he, as an adult, travels back in time, and he joins forces with him as a kid sort of thing. But he lost his dad when he was a kid, and his relationship with mom was never the same after it. And so there's this powerful scene where his mom is in this bar, and he walks in, and he sits next to her as an adult. So she doesn't know that that's her kid, but he knows that that's his mom, and he asks very real questions about how she's dealing with her dad's or her husband's passing. And he says, "Are you grieving?" And she's like, "Of course I am." And he says, maybe he needs to know that, talking about him as a little kid. Maybe he needs to know that. The problem with acting like you have it all together is that he believes it. And maybe he needs to know that you don't. It's a powerful, powerful scene. Because what it does, when you own up and you realize that you're not perfect and you model that for your kid, it tells them or it shows them, I know my mom's broken. And I see that she's wrestling with herself and even wrestling with God. That means when I'm broken and I mess up and I need to wrestle, I know that my mom is trusted. I know that I can go to her. I know that I could talk to her. See, teenagers, especially, you know, the upper junior high and high school, they care way more about a faith genuinely lived out than anything else. In all the messiness and the shortcomings, than this polished perfection that absolutely doesn't exist. See, it's never too late to have a hard conversation. So you're gonna all leave after this and have those hard conversations. So I'm really just thankful for all of you and even engaging in this hard conversation with me. But we wanted to open it up to Q&A. And again, I'm not an expert, I'm not trained in psychology or anything like that, but I do wanna talk about my experience. So if anything sparked any questions, I'm all for it. So I'm not sure how much time I have, but I'll just...